Blog Talk Radio.
At 9:05 this evening, we received a call of a shooting that had occurred at the church here on Calhoun Street. When officers arrived, they found a number of victims inside, and we had also individuals that were transported to the MUSC Emergency Trauma Center. We were able to determine that there were 8 deceased individuals inside of the church. 2 individuals were transferred to the MUSC. One of them has died. So at this point, we have 9 victims in this heinous crime that has been committed. We are looking for a white male, approximately 21 years old, sandy blonde hair, and he obviously is extremely dangerous.
People in prayer, Wednesday evening, a ritual, coming together, praying and worshiping God, to have an awful person come in and shoot them is inexplicable. Obviously, the most intolerable and unbelievable act possible.
I do believe this was a hate crime.
Is that why the FBI is being investigated as a hate crime?
It will be investigated as a hate crime, but the FBI would be here regardless because of the size and scope of the investigation. And they're our partners, and they would be here to help us regardless, but they're here for that specific person.
If you're not going to stand up, not gonna do anything, just be quiet. Just take your oppression, stop complaining, and just bend over and take it. Because we need black people to stand up, to love themselves, love your family. That's revolution, taking care of your children, doing what's right. It's not revolution, it's not picking up a gun. I know most of y'all not built for that. I'm not saying I'm built for that. But the reality is, stand up and do something. We're trying to do something. You wanna pray to your Jesus? You want to pray to your Allah? What up? There's many names. You know? You have to stand up and do what's right. We have to. If we don't, we're going to be having the same conversation. Maybe we're not even going to have the conversation. We're going to be back on the plantations again. Yeah, I know the Bible very well. But we got to. If we're going to use that philosophy, we got to use it to empower ourselves.
All right. Peace. Welcome, y'all. This is Jay Dizzle. Welcome to the 7th episode. Black Guy Stand Radio, South Carolina shooting, Confederate flag, nation building. So this is my first run at a show, 2-hour-long show, so bear with me, y'all. But we're going to dive into a couple different, topics that are current events, and topic, that I feel is necessary for the black community. So in the first part of the show, we'll break down the manifesto of Dylann Roof. I don't know if I'll read it all, but we're going to break it down because there is some significant things in there that I think, we need to know about. The second part of the show, examine the forgiveness aspect, and what that means for us, And we're also going to go into exploring the debate with the Confederate flag, and then from there we'll transition into nation building. So I guess one of the things, make sure that if you're listening to the show right now, make sure that you go to the Blog Talk webpage and follow the show. Let's build this network. Let's build this community right now. We need it more than anything. So like-minded individuals, we need to come together, follow the show, You can follow on Twitter from the webpage, from the Blog Talk webpage. You can also join the friends list on Facebook and join the Black Eye Stand Nation group, and even subscribe on YouTube. All right. So let's do it like this. As far as the shooting, before we get into the manifesto, let me just do a brief little, how I see the situation. From a personal perspective, according to the information that's been brought to us by the media, mostly, Because, this dude apparently was a ninth grade dropout. This roof devil was a ninth grade dropout. Yet, he knew about Rhodesia and apartheid South Africa because he was only 21 years old. He dropped out in ninth grade. So all that stuff ended before he was born. So for him to know about that is kind of interesting. It shows that either his parents since we ain't talked about that, since the media is not bringing up, you know, every time a black person does something that's wrong, then they always bring up the parent issue. Where was his father? You know, what was his parents, you know, teaching him as far as, you know, morals and structure and discipline and things of that nature. But we didn't hear none of that out of this dude. You know what I'm saying? Come to find out his father is the one that gave him the gun. But we ain't hearing about that. You know what I'm saying? How does a ninth grade dropout who was born decades after the apartheid of South Africa, decades after Zimbabwe was called Rhodesia, but he has the smearbanella on his jacket. So, I mean, it's possible. You know what I'm saying? A lot of us become conscious by studying, you know what I'm saying, a lot of stuff that we can get via the internet these days since everything's on the internet. So he could have studied and got some information. But we're going to go into that a little bit later on the manifesto. But it's likely that a lot of these feelings were taught to him by his parents, the same one who got him the gun. You know what I'm saying? So that's just something interesting that, you know what I'm saying, hasn't really been discussed on Fox News. Not only that, matter of fact, this shooter dude even said that Fox News is the one that prompted him to do the shooting. I think what he said is that he got the coded message from Fox News that, you know, motivated him that it was time to do this. And, you know, I was watching that and seeing how, like, Sean Hannity and these Bill O'Reillys was responding to that, and it's like they know that's the vibration they're putting out. I don't know if they actually encoded a message to try to trigger people, you know, on some subconscious subliminal level, but we know that the rhetoric that they speak, the stance that they take, you know what I'm saying, we know that that does generate a certain amount, because media is all about magicians playing games to capture your mind. You know what I'm saying? It's about hypnosis. It's about mind control. It's about programming. That's why they call them programs. So we know that there is a program coming from Fox News that would definitely, you know, you could definitely have to take that in consideration on his viewpoints and how he feels and how he feels validated in those feelings or whatever. And you know, he himself gave Fox News the credit. On the other, they're happy about it, but they're acting like they're appalled by it. You know what I'm saying? So let's do it like this. Let's start reading a little bit of this manifesto, man. This manifesto, I found it online, printed it down, read through it, and I thought it was, you know, important enough that since nobody else is doing it, that we go into this a little bit. All right, so it starts off, paragraph one. I was not raised in a racist home or environment. Living in the South, almost every white person has a small amount of racial awareness simply because of the numbers of Negroes in this part of the country. But it is a superficial awareness. Growing up in school, the white and black kids would make racial jokes towards each other, but they were all jokes. Me and white friends would sometimes watch things that would make us think blacks were the real racists and other elementary thoughts like this. But there was no real understanding behind it. He goes on to say, the event that truly awakened me was the Trayvon Martin case. I kept hearing and seeing his name, and eventually I decided to look him up. I read the Wikipedia article, and right away I was unable to understand what the big deal was. Now, let's pause it right there. He said that he read a Wikipedia article. Now, I understand that a lot of us use Wikipedia to get information. And it's not like you can't get a base framework of the information. Then you can always check the, you know, the credits and the references and do, you know, study on that to see how accurate it is. But just for your information, you know what I'm saying, if you've ever been to college and you have the right essays, you know that you can't use Wikipedia as a source because Wikipedia could be edited by anybody on the internet. I've done it myself. I've actually edited a Wikipedia article because I was debating with this dude on YouTube about ancient Kemet and this and that. And he said some shit that was hella off base from my knowledge. And when I clicked the link that he had of Wikipedia and I read it and I realized, okay, he's on some fugazi because he has that link on, you know, on a YouTube page, like everybody's going to go there and read it. But I think he altered it because it was so off base. So I just corrected it. I didn't put any personal stuff. I just corrected it, saved it, and then told him, okay, well, check the ad now, and blah, 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 and whoop, 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 and he kind of, you know, because he knew what it was. So I'm just saying that it is editable. So, I mean, it's not like the holy grail of information, but it can get you started, though. So I'm just saying anything that he could have read on Wikipedia could have been whatever, propaganda, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, let's just say this. I read the Wikipedia article, and right away I was unable to understand what the big deal was. It was obvious that Zimmerman was right, but more importantly, this prompted me to type in the words black on white crime in Google, and I have never been the same since that day. The first website I came across was the Council of Conservative Citizens. So look at his frame of, you know, where he's getting his information from. He's getting his information from subjective viewpoints of a particular demographic. So, I mean, he's not objectively looking. He's not getting different sources. He's going to the same kind of sites, you know, Conservative Citizens, Council of Conservative Citizens, you know what I'm saying, all with K's. You know what I'm saying? You probably know who would be behind this kind of thing. It's a right-wing, you know what I mean, Republican, probably affiliated with some pretty strong white nationalist racist viewpoints. You know what I'm saying? Probably somewhere that something that he heard on Fox. You know what I mean? Probably one of the references Fox uses. So he said, there were pages upon pages of brutal black-on-white murders. I was in disbelief. At this moment, I realized that something was very wrong. How could the news be blowing up the Trayvon Martin case while hundreds of these black-on-white murders got ignored? From this point, I researched deeper and found out what was happening in Europe. I saw that the same things were happening in England and France and all over the Western European countries. Again, I found myself in disbelief. As an American, we are taught to accept living in a melting pot, and blacks and other minorities have just as much right to it to be here as we do, since we're all immigrants. But Europe is the homeland of white people, and in many ways the situation is even worse there. From there, I found out about the Jewish problem and other issues facing our race. And I can say today that I'm completely racially aware. All right, so he's saying that he went on this site and he found out that there were black-on-white crimes going on all over the world, this and that. And I don't know how true that is. He didn't quote any statistics. So I don't know how, you know, we don't have anything to compare it to, you know, saying in comparison to what they're doing to us. But I'm pretty sure, you know, since we're not on the offensive, you know what I'm saying, that it's probably just, you know, in defense of what we've been going through, is what I would assume, you know what I'm saying? Because obviously there's no real, if there was a danger, it'd be on the news, you know what I'm saying? Real deal. So, I mean, you know, but he's looking at it from his point of view, from what he has learned, and from what he probably already inherently feels, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he's rocking the Rhodesia, you know what I'm saying? And if you know anything about the history of Rhodesia, Rhodesia is what they called Zimbabwe at the time Cecil Rhodes came down and conquered that land. All right. So while it was colonized by England via Cecil Rhodes, they called the land Rhodesia, named it after him, basically. So Rhodesia is like where Zimbabwe is now, basically. So, you know, he has that on. He has the South Africa apartheid shit on. You know what I'm saying? You know, same old script. Basically, so this is the viewpoint that he's coming from. All right, so let's see what he says particularly about blacks. Here's what he says about blacks. This is how it reads. And he got, like, wow. I don't even know if I can go through all this. But I do want to read the part, what he says about blacks and a couple other races, you know, racist groups, racial groups, I should say. So he says like this. I think it is fitting to start off with the group I have the most real-life experience with, and that group is the biggest problem for Americans. Niggers are stupid and violent. At the same time that they have the capacity to be very slick. Black people view everything through a racial lens. That's what racial awareness is. It's viewing everything that happens through a racial lens. They're always thinking about the fact that they are black. This is part of the reason they get offended so easily, and I think that some things are intended to be racist, and think that some things are intended to be racist towards them, even when a white person wouldn't be thinking about race. The other reason is the Jewish education of the black race. So now we're gonna get into to the Jewish aspect of what he said about the Jewish people in a minute. You know what I'm saying? He laced a couple little, you know what I'm saying, aspect from that. But you notice that nobody's talking about, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, we're not going to go there right now. Black people are racially aware almost from birth, but white people on average don't think about it. Don't think about race in their daily lives. And this is our problem. We need to and have to. Now, first of all, that's not true to say that white people don't think about race in their daily lives. Maybe the average person, white person, doesn't so much. But you can bet people who make policies, people who police or in charge of policing us, people who are in charge of institutions and decisions made on where we can live, you know what I'm saying, where us as black people live or how we're educated, things of that nature, is definitely there's a racial lens on that. You know what I'm saying? That's why we call it systematic racism. So no, maybe the average Joe walking down the street doesn't think about race that much because he doesn't have to. You know what I'm saying? He's not going places and being discriminated to where he has to always be on the constant awareness that because of his race, you know, be prepared, defense mechanism, be prepared for certain things, and you know what I mean? But as far as is institutionally and politically and economically, things of that nature, yeah, they're very aware of it, very much so. You know what I'm saying? All right, so he goes into analogy of a dog biting a man biting a dog. We ain't going to do all that. Let's see here. Segregation was not a bad thing. Now, here's something that I do agree with right here. He starts off deeper into his manifesto about the blacks, which is like 3 pages long. You know what I'm saying? Everybody else gets like a couple sentences, but we got, you know what I mean? We took up ad space in this dude's head, obviously. So segregation was not a bad thing. It was a defensive measure. That's true. Segregation did not exist to hold back Negroes. It existed to protect us from them. It did hold us back. That's true. It also is true that it was not a bad thing in retrospect. You know what I mean? We could definitely look at some things that, you know, were not on in our favor because of the integration, as they call it. It was a defensive measure. True indeed. It defended us. Okay, but it says not only did it protect us from having to interact with them and being physically harmed by them, but it protected us from being brought down to their level. Integration has done nothing but bring whites down to the level of brute animals. The best example of this, obviously, our school system. So that's what brought them down to brute animal level. They weren't brute animal level on their own in Europe when they were killing each other and got a clique big enough to kill other people. They weren't brutes then. They weren't brutes in slavery. You know what I mean? When segregation was definitely practiced. You know what I mean? They weren't brutes then. They weren't brutes in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You know what I'm saying? They just started being brutes now since integration. I mean, this dude's good. And now, remember, this is the stuff that I'm reading is from a ninth grade dropout. I don't know if you got a GED. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that you have to be the smartest person to write. But, I mean, by reading what he's writing, I will say this is probably above ninth grade level. So, I mean, it's interesting, man. I mean, because is it possible that this has been manipulated? Is it possible that maybe they manipulated this before they brought it out? Or maybe he didn't really, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, you know, type of thing. I mean, what happened, happened. It doesn't matter. All that, but what I'm just saying is, you know, propaganda is propaganda, and I have a feeling that he might not have wrote this himself, or it was manipulated before it was released to the public. But let's see what he says about Jews real quick, because he also in this manifesto, if I could find it, he points out the fact that in slavery times, only 30% of white Southerners had slaves, which is a statistic that I've heard from a source that I would feel credible. So I won't argue that. You know what I'm saying? I believe that statistic is in one of the volumes of the Nation of Islam's The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews. I'm pretty sure that that statistic came from there. You know what I'm saying? Or one of the sources that they have in there. So he points that out. I can't find it right now. But he does point that out. So keep that in mind. I'm going to read this paragraph he has about the Jews. Unlike many white nationalists, I am of the opinion that the majority of American and European Jews are white. Okay, so he's basically saying we're all in there together. In my opinion, the issues with Jews is not their blood, but their identity. I think that if we could somehow destroy their Jewish identity, then they wouldn't cause such a problem. The problem is that Jews look white and in many cases are white, yet they see themselves as minorities. Just like niggers, most Jews are always thinking about the fact that they are Jewish. The other issue is that they network. If we could somehow turn every Jew blue for 24 hours, I think that there would be a mass awakening because people would be able to plainly see what's going on. I do not pretend to understand why Jews do what they do. They are an enigma. Listen, that's kind of a red flag to me, personally. Because in one sense, you know, saying like most nationalist white groups do not like Jews, particularly Zionists. You feel me? And for him to be almost saying they're cool and blah, 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 and, you know, just the minimal problems, and the fact that he knows that 30% of white Protestant Southerners, only 30% actually own slaves, if he knows that, then he also knows that 75% of Jews in the South own slaves. And seeing that the part of the manifesto, if you ever get the chance to read it, that points to the fact that only 30% of Protestants had slaves, and he pointed at that as a problem of why there's racial tension, because, you know, they're looked at as all bad and not all their ancestors had slaves and blah, blah, blah. Well, that's something that a white nationalist like that, if he's making that point, would say it's the Jews that had blah, blah, blah. I mean, David Duke did that. He brought that fact out. A lot of white nationalist groups, you know what I'm saying, they'll say that, you know what I'm saying, to let you know that they know the manipulation going on. That's why I'm thinking that either this was compromised or it's fugazi. And then he goes to Hispanics, and, of course, he doesn't like Hispanics. But, all right, so we're done with the manifesto portion. But I just thought that was interesting, since nobody's, you know, bringing it up on the news. And I haven't heard too much speak about it. You know what I mean? All right, so the bail hearing with the judge. I'm going to play a clip here in a minute because I want you to hear this bail hearing. And I want to talk about that in the arrest, if you've seen the arrest of this dude when he was arrested. How it was kind of funny because the police that arrested him were pretty damn calm for arresting somebody who just murdered 9 people and who is presumed to still be armed and dangerous. The arrest was pretty damn peaceful. They were pretty calm. You see the video of it. Even the call in about it was pretty blasey blah. You know what I mean? There was like one cop that was kind of acting like he was a little bit nervous or whatever, but I just thought that the arrest was pretty funny. And then come to find out, they took him to Burger King. You know what I mean? And then the judge is asking for forgiveness on his behalf, basically just putting it on the record that I support this dude for all the other Klansmen out there. Let it be known where I stand. You know. So anyway, let me play a couple clips. This is going to pretty much conclude the first segment of the show, and we're going to get into the flag debate. But before I do that, I do want to say this about the military psych-ops that's going on right now. You know what I'm saying? That came up after the shooting. You know what I'm saying? Because now you see that they keep playing this forgiveness aspect. They did that for a few days right after. It's kind of like to pacify us. This is how we should be. Look at these guys are forgiving. If they can forgive, you guys can forgive. It's basically what they're saying. It's like a soft-up tactic. And then they switch to the distraction tactic. You know what I'm saying? Talking about irrelevant issues like Obama using the N-word, this Rachel Dolezal. This is all distraction. You know what I'm saying? They're shifting the focus and the momentum that could be built, you know what I'm saying, from this, and they're using roles to pacify us over and over, showing the forgiveness and the, you know, Christian values of these people who will pray for this dude, and the judge even saying this and that. So it's a military psych-ops without a doubt, and it is a distraction. But I'm going to play this clip, and I want you guys to judge for yourself. Let's get the clip of the judge.
Charleston County Bond Court. I'm Judge James Gosnell, the Chief Magistrate of Charleston County. This is the case of State versus Dylan Roof. Mr. Roof is charged with 9 counts of murder and 1 count of possession of a weapon during the commission of a violent crime. Ladies and gentlemen, before I get into the hearing, I'd like to make a statement, please. Charleston is a very strong community. We have big hearts. We're a very loving community. And we're going to reach out to everyone, all victims, and we will touch them. We have victims, 9 of them. But we also have victims on the other side. There are victims on this young man's side of the family. Nobody would have ever thrown them into the whirlwind of events that they have been thrown into. We must find it in our heart at some point in time not only to help those that are victims, but to also help his family as well.
Because they lost people. I don't want to send a message out that the black people, the black nation doesn't support them when they just had their family murdered by a white supremacist and make them feel like they don't have, white people are killing them, black people are ridiculing them, and that will just make them cling to just Jesus and Christianity and forgiveness and all this and justify that in mind. So I don't want to do that. But I do want to say that it is very dangerous. It is very dangerous to take that stance. You know what I'm saying? Because you're giving a green light to cowards. You know what I'm saying? Like this Roof dude, you're giving validation and you're giving motivation to them to know that they can hit spots like that, you know what I'm saying, institutions of worship, which many of our people, especially our women, you know what I'm saying, congregate at. And if we're not going to have, you know, security forces, we're not to protect them, and we're letting them know that we forgive them, then the next Dylan Roof will do his thing. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of funny that we didn't hear anything about the Memphis shooting that happened, I think, the next day. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, so, I mean, I think it's a dangerous position to take when we saturate ourselves with all that forgiveness. But I don't want to, you know, show any division at the same time. So I'm going to play this clip from the Larry Wilmore Show. I'm also going to play a song called Enemy by Ice Cube, and then we'll take it to the next segment, which is the symbolism of, you know, the Confederate flag issue, the debate, and things of that nature. So
I do think that racism is a serious issue in this country, and I don't know why you are so unable to see that. And
because I don't think it's an epidemic of racism. I don't think it's ingrained in the society.
Oh, hold on, Kristen, hold on. I got this time, okay? Actually, Bill, you're right. It's not an epidemic, because this shit happens all the time. It's not a plague. It's the common f***ing cold. Next.
I'm saying that the world is being told by anti-American haters that we are a rank racist society, and that is a lie. All right, you, Monica.
Yes. Are there individual racists in this
country?
Of course. Sadly, yes. Does institutional racism exist anymore? No, it does not.
Okay. First of all, why is Monica Crowley answering her own questions? I don't know. Does it concern me about the state of her mental health? Yes, it does. Look. It's bad enough you have three white people debating about race, and then to have one answering her own softball race questions?
Slavery was part of this country's history.
So what?
So what? Slavery gets us so what? That's how to argue your point about why we're still dealing with this racial problem in America? What you taking the Holocaust? Whatevs? Slavery is what the whole Confederate flag debate is all about. You cannot so wet it away. What kind of...
Everybody does not acknowledge
right.
that.
That's well, then
what
you're talking
missing.
About the lunatic
you're missing,
fringe.
No, it's not the lunatic fringe. There are actually
that's
a
right.
lot of people in this country who are racist, and you just...
Exactly.
You, I mean, I really...
Oh,
have to
what kind of noise is that?
I mean, I have to wonder about why you can't
know?
See what's happening. Because
I,
most
what's happening?
Americans are not racist.
No,
they're
what?
Not.
Really? So how many black friends do you have?
Really?
How many black friends do you have?
If you think most Americans are racist, I'm ashamed of you.
How many black friends do you have?
If you think most Americans are racist, I'm ashamed of you.
She asked you again and you said the same thing. Oh, man. And Bill, you know what I say to the fact that you think racism doesn't exist in America? So what?
Every January 16th is the dreamer, and all of you, I have a dream, the dreamer. And what did he dream? It stuck him right there. And little black boys and little white girls will one day hold hands together. Is that what it's at? Is that where it's at now? Little black hands are yours. You can't hold your black brother's hands, but you gon' go hold some cracker's hands before you hold each other's hands. You gon' walk with your enemy before you learn to walk with one another. How sick can you be? Where you gonna go when them brothers wanna bust a shot? Where you wanna go when them wanna kill blood clot? Super cat said that the ghetto red hot. Bust the clock, devil get shot. Nappy headed, no dreaded, look where you read it. Fuck the devil, look who said it. Listen what I'm saying after 1995. Not one death will be alive. God will survive, him protect the civilized. Who really cares if the enemy lives or dies? Not me, not me, me never eat from the tree with the apple. I'd rather have a snapple. Do you know where you're going to? Do you know where you're running from? Scared of the sun, I live in the sun. You shrivel up like the ray sun and burn like the blunt that I'm blazing. Blue Flux Clan, scared of me nutty beats, cause them nutty beats equal them bloody sheets. Outnumber you something like 15 to 3. See, don't let your enemy running from the enemy. Gonna run when God wanna do ya. Say Edgar Hoover, I wish I would've knew ya. With the boom, ping, ping, is ring from the fire. Me not afraid, cause me no Elijah. Going to the east, but straight from the west side. Swing down sweet chariot, and let me ride. Crucified, that will please us. I know that Farrakhan is your baby Jesus. Devil, don't you know I'm a soldier? In God's name, man, a baby plane, I'm gonna hold ya. Like soldiers, crystal spent. I'ma pick your ass like Ron Valdez. You don't care if me die from the cracker. You don't care if me have a heart attacker. You don't care
my place. Freedom got an AK, them gorilla tape. Bobby still said, please make it rough, bro. When God dipped the word, me heard like the buffalo. Through your neighborhood, watch me blast. Drive up your back, getting that ass. You should have took heed of my word and became a friend of me. Now you're just an enemy.
Enemy, enemy.
Change my style up, body pile up. Just a trouble, you throwing up the W. Sent me a subpoena, cause I'm killing more crackers in Bosnia. Herzegovina, each and every day out of straight Chevrolet. With the heavy A to the motherfucking K. Now you treat me like a germ, cause you're scared of the super sperm. Please don't bust till you see the whites of his eyes, the whites of his skin, the whites of his lies. Nappy head nigga with the bone in his nose. You're scared? Put this bone in your hole, but I don't bone up. I've been the Kona from the K bitch with the nasty persona. Hit me with the big black billy club, cause you're white and you're holding a silly nub. Three men in the tub, rubber dubbed up, and it's really scary. Now they in the military, Sodom and Gomorrah. Read your Bible when you tore a holy Quran. Once again, it's on, got the hollow point check line. And brother Ron 2X, so who's next? With Dub C, brother D, crazy tunes is a ready for the enemy, high up the Hennessy, 110 degrees. No, it's not Tennessee, West LA. What the hell can I say? Niggas wanna play each and every day. Pass me the pill, a nigga shoot the J. Rougher than the rougher's ass, rough motherfucker. Had enough motherfucker, handcuffed this motherfucker with the duct tape. Time to the bumper, I was zip jumper. Cause nobody wanna hover. They call me dumper cause I fuck till it hurts. Knock your dick in the dirt, putting in work for master for all. Muhammad coming like a comet. When the enemy see him, they all start to vomit. 1995, Elijah is alive. Louis Farrakhan in O.I. Bloods and Crips and little old me. And we all getting ready for the
can't wait. We plan to let this be a living memorial, a living legacy, that never again will somebody be able to use that red rag as a reason for taking the lives of another human being.
It's time for South Carolina to get past its history. History belongs in a place. It belongs in a museum, not on sovereign ground.
We do not need to wait for January. We can't wait for January. There have been too many people to say, wait, it's a time of mourning. After 9/11, what did we do with the terrorists? Did Congress shut down? No, they operated. That's the exact same thing we need to do. We need to move now. We need to move swift. We can't wait, and we're not going to wait. The time has come. It's waited too long. We can't wait any longer. And I know that there are people that disagree with me. God bless you. But hopefully your heart will come to understand that we are a state of all people. This is sacred ground to every citizen of South Carolina. And all of us need to be respected equally in the way we are treated and the way we behave, the way we react, and we will not stop until that flag goes where it needs to go. God bless you.
I mean, isn't it historically the Confederate flag didn't start being re-hoisted and re-shown? It was the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah, it was right. Civil rights.
Exactly, in response to the civil rights movement. I mean, they're trying to portray it now like it's they've been flying it for 200 years, which is
right.
Not and really.
It's
also
about being proud of the South.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think. You can have a Confederate flag without being racist, but you have to accept the fact that if you have a Confederate flag on your lawn, people will think that you're racist.
But, I mean, you know, states' rights is what the deflection is and the distraction is and the heritage and everything. And it's like you can't, when you try to defend some sort of kooky conservative or, you know, Tea Party or, you know, hyper, you know, racist ideology, you have to become racist at some point. You know what I'm saying? It's like when you talk about states' rights, what about states' rights? What was it that the states wanted the right to do? They wanted the right to kill black people.
It seems like, I don't know, it seems like people don't want to talk about the killings in the church. Mm-hmm. Everything's been deflected to this Confederate flag. You know, that's the convenient thing.
Well, that's the conversation now, right?
Exactly. They do not want to have a nuanced conversation about race.
And it's very important to note that, you know, often the pushback I get when I talk about race is, well, the Democrats, like, I don't give a about Democrats and Republicans, but I find that racists always think that black people always cape for Democrats. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, look, the Democrats had a long run of some racist for a while.
They did. Right? And the Dixiecrats.
Politicians, it's all about votes. They thought, we can get some black votes. Well, let's just.
Which is why
it's
so disgusting that it took 9 innocent people being murdered for this to be a discussion about the flag.
All right, y'all. You listen to Black Guy Stand Radio. This is your host, Jay Dizzle, broadcasting live from Black Guy Stand Nation, the capital of Black Guy Stand Nation. So remember to follow the show. Make sure you go to the Block Top Talk Show webpage and follow Black Guy Stand Radio. From there, you can hit up the YouTube and you can subscribe. You can hit up the Facebook and you can friend and join the Black Guy Stand Nation. You know what I'm saying? You can follow on Twitter. You can do all that. You can make a donation from the YouTube page. You know what I'm saying? But the clip you just heard was from the Larry Wilmore show. All right, so that was Talib Kweli and David Allen Greer for the most part. But let's talk about this flag issue. I know that it's a distracting issue. I know that, you know, saying I feel personally it's one of those issues that's relevant, but it's also conveniently sidetracking, you know what I'm saying, what we really should be focusing on and building momentum behind. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those, there's duality to this conversation. So I'm going to try to just touch on both parts. I mean, I just said the distraction part that I feel is relevant. And, you know what I'm saying, like if you look at the symbolism of what the flag means, you know what I'm saying, the Confederate flag stood for a part of the country that wanted to succeed from the rest of the nation just so they can continue to implement their practices of slavery. And whether you know it or not, that was a lot of that was orchestrated by Jewish people because they had the biggest interest in the slave trade. And if you read the secret relationships between blacks and Jews, you'll kind of get you'll understand what I'm saying more. You'll understand what I'm saying more. And that's another reason why when I went over that manifesto, I thought it was interesting that he didn't mention anything about that. But he did have other stats to validate his feeling towards things that we would likely got from the same source. But anyway. So we know what the symbolism of the flag is. We know what it means. We know how it makes people feel. We know that it's been used for tyranny. You know what I'm saying? Not just even in this country, but even in Europe, they've used it as tyranny in replace of the Nazi flag in some instances. You know what I'm saying? And my personal opinion is it's not so much worse than the American flag, if you want to talk about what it symbolizes, oppression and all that. But it does need to come down. There's no doubt about that. And I mean, it's crazy because Alabama has took it down. They didn't took it down from their state buildings. You know what I'm saying? Alabama has to be one of the most racist states. You know what I'm saying? In Mississippi, I think they're considering it. South Carolina, they're debating it and talking about it because that's like a stronghold right there. You know what I'm saying? But it does need to come down. And it is causing a division. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you this little idea that I got. I've been trying to look for a Confederate flag. I've been hitting up different spots trying to find a Confederate flag. You know what I'm saying? I haven't found one yet, but if I can find one, what I plan on doing is laying that bitch on the ground with some youngsters in the neighborhood, seawalking and spitting on that shit, and then burning it. And when I get that done, I'm going to post it on YouTube and Facebook. And that's the challenge. You know, that's the challenge I'm going to issue out. You know what I'm saying? Let's have a burn the Confederate flag challenge. I guess half the challenge will be finding it, but, you know, let's do it like that. But one thing that I found interesting in this Confederate flag debate that's going on is that there's retailers, you know what I'm saying, that are actually taking the flag out of production. One of the main flag-producing, you know, companies in the country ain't producing it no more. Retailers ain't selling it. And that's going to actually transition the segment for the next segment of nation building. So I'm going to hold off on that real quick. And I wanted to say, let me find my notes here. Oh, yeah, the division that this issue is causing, that other issues are causing. Because I said years ago, you know, in private, you know, chopping it up with homies and whatnot, that a civil war is pending in this country. And there is a division that is coming down. So, like, you know, all the Bible heads, you know, they say the sword that Jesus is coming back with is to divide the house and divide the family. That's what's happening. This ain't the first time it happened in this country, but it is happening again. How far it will go, I don't know. But I'm just saying like this. You know what I'm saying? People, you can see the black community kind of dividing up. You know what I'm saying? The ones that want to keep forgiving and pray to Jesus and think that's going to take care of everything, and the ones that are like, no, it's time to do something other than that. You know what I'm saying? The white community is dividing up. There's some of them that want to keep the perpetuation of white supremacy, and then there's some of them that are like, yo, what's going to happen is going to happen. Let's be on the right side of justice and history, and they might not condone what's going on, and they might even be willing to fight for it. I'm not saying to join black organizations. What I'm saying is, you know, they're kind of dividing up, creating their own little groups and organizations to fight against oppression and injustice. And other people are doing the same. You know what I'm saying? So it's like these issues are starting to divide the country between those who want a new America that is more just and those who want to keep the advantages that were created by oppression. You feel me? And a lot of these puppet strings, you know what I'm saying, that are being pulled, you might say that they're being pulled by media and things of that nature, but, I mean, it's something that's a natural gravitation, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I'm saying, you could only rule a certain way for a certain amount of time, you know what I'm saying? So I do believe that there is a dividing of the nation that's going on, you know what I'm saying? It's polarized in race, black and white, but it's way deeper than that, and there's more to it than just that. It's really just and unjust. It just so happens that since most white people did and do benefit from the situation at hand, you know what I'm saying, oppression and racism and white supremacy, they benefit one way, directly or indirectly. So naturally, most of them don't want this change. And, you know, of course, we want this change, and we will have this change. So I'm going to play this clip from the retailers. Some of the retailers in their stance on the flag. I'm going to play another clip from Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King. Then we're going to go to the third segment of the show, which is Nation Building. You're listening to Black Eye Stand Radio and your host, Jay Dizzle.
This flag will not fly anymore with some top American retailers. Sears and Walmart said Monday they will stop selling products bearing the Confederate flag, with eBay, Etsy, and Amazon now following suit. Hillary Clinton, while at a church in Missouri, commended the retailers for their swift action in dropping the flag merchandise.
We can't hide from hard truths about race and justice. We have to name them and own them and change them.
eBay says the Civil War flag has become a contemporary symbol of divisiveness and racism, after a white gunman shot 9 dead last week at a historically black church in South Carolina. Governor Nikki Haley has called for the flag's removal from the State House grounds.
This is a moment in which we can say that that flag, while an integral part of our past, does not represent the future of our great state.
The flag still maintains a presence on eBay's marketplace, but a spokesman says the company will block new listings and begin notifying sellers who have current listings with the flag. It was originally used as a Civil War battle flag by the 7 slave states that broke away from the Union in 1861. But in light of the massacre in Charleston, many want nothing to do with the flag's divisive history.
American Negro collective is richer. And most nations of the world, we have an annual income of more than $30 billion a year, which is more than all of the exports of the United States and more than the national budget of Canada. Did you know that? That's power right there if we know how to prove.
We should own and operate and control the economy of our community. We have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled, misguided, are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man. The man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing and a run-down community. Why, you run it down yourself when you take the dollar.
We've got to strengthen black institutions. I call upon you to take your money out of the bank downtown and deposit your money in Tri-State Bank. We are telling you to follow what we are doing. Put your money there. You have six or seven black insurance companies here. Take out your insurance there. Now, these are some practical things that we can do. We begin the process of building a great economic base. We've got to give ourselves to this struggle until the end. We've got to see it through.
So our people not only have to be re-educated to the importance of supporting black business, but the black man himself has to be made aware of the importance of going into business. And once you and I go into business, we own and operate at least the businesses in our community, what we will be doing is developing a situation wherein we will actually be able to create employment for the people in the community.
Black man must unite in one grand racial hierarchy, making a racial empire upon which the sun shall never set.
All right, y'all. Black Guy Stand Radio. The last clip you just heard was Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Marcus Garvey on Blackonomics. And you can actually find that video on my YouTube page, but I actually got that audio clip from the African History Network, which you can also find on Block Talk. You know, saying they're very worth listening to. Brother Imhotep does a good job on that show. I've been listening to the show for years now. So if you want to get that, if you want to hear that clip and see the video that I made with it, you can go to my YouTube. You can go to YouTube and search for Netterket, or you can search for Jay Dizzle or Black Guy Stand. You'll find it there. Matter of fact, let me just say this too, since we're on the economic tip. I do have some T-shirts, a couple T-shirt campaigns that I'm about to be pushing. I'm going to make the Black Lives Matter with the UNC as the Black Lives, and also the Black Crown T-shirts, you know, saying hoodies, things of that nature, and apparel like that. So make sure you support that, you know what I'm saying? Because the reason why I transitioned the way I did from that clip from the second segment to now is because when you think about the retailers that are pulling these Confederate flags, that are making a stand, even NASCAR, you know what I'm saying? And these companies that are making a stand against the Confederate flag and pushing for it to come down and saying that they're not going to affiliate themselves with it, you have to understand why that's happening. You know what I'm saying? I made a video called Nation Building on my YouTube channel. You should check it out. I dropped it on the Facebook. And what I did is I walked around a couple Asian community, business communities, like blocks that they have in the outskirts of Seattle. And just, you know, I kind of walked around and showed all the businesses, and I made a little video challenging us and hopefully motivating us to handle our business. Because the significance of the retailers, you know saying, and their association or disassociating themselves with the flag should let us know how much power we have. Stated before, we have $1 trillion of spending power amongst us. You know what I'm saying? I didn't hear of any, you know, so-called leader or organizations or people calling for Walmart not to sell the flag. I didn't hear anybody calling for that. They did this on their own. The reason they did this is because they do not want to isolate the black dollar, you know what I'm saying, and discourage black people from going there. They don't want us to feel like, you know what, fuck these people, fuck these corporations. We need to go for self and keep that money circulating. They're going to lose $1 trillion, you know what I'm saying, all these corporations, if we were to spend our money with us and empower ourselves, which is what we need to be doing, which is what other nations have done. Exercise our power and click up. Now we know that that's how much they don't want to lose our money, and that's how much power we have. We need to redirect that power internally. You know what I'm saying? For doing so will protect us from certain acts against us. It will give us the capacity to respond properly. It'll give us the capacity to build institutions, as you heard Malcolm or Martin Luther King speaking on. You know what I'm saying? Black banks, where somebody can walk into the bank and don't have to be in a suit and tie. They just have to have a good idea and the capacity to pull it off. And a council of elders can, you know, chop it up and be like, okay, well, why don't you do this first? Go learn from this dude because he has a business like you're starting, blah, blah, blah. Come back to us. We'll set up the loan or whatever. We need that. So we don't have to be discriminated with credit reports and, you know, institutional racism. And we have our own black commerce. You know what I'm saying? That's the movement right now. That's why I have this show, Black I Stand Radio. So people who have understanding, you know what I'm saying, can have a place to network and click up and be a part of something, you know what I'm saying, that's trying to do something. You know what I'm saying? This is like the first step. This ain't nothing. It's the first step. You know what I'm saying? It's not enough anymore just to be on Facebook and Twitter and all that and re-Twitter and reposting and liking. That's cool. But, you know, those who are of the capacity of building, we do need to have safe havens. We do have to have networks of our own that we can build so we can consolidate this power. It has to be happening all over. There's over 1,000 hate groups right now. So we should have 1,000 organizations that are strong. You know, because us uniting equals protection. If we don't unite, we cannot be protected. That's why people click up. That's why gangs were formed, not just in black communities, but in white communities, to protect. You know what I'm saying? So let me go into this clip. This is the red pill clip that I got off of signing a TV. Then we'll wind down the show a little bit, but I want you to hear this clip.
In the Matrix, you have Morpheus, Neo, and Trinity. They were the awakened ones. They would be the conscious ones. They came amongst the quote-unquote people, and they realized that those people were asleep. So as long as those people were asleep, he told Neo, don't fuck with them. Don't trust them because they're Agent Smith. The potential to be an Agent Smith. The lady in the red dress turned into the goddamn bum was an agent. When he turned around, it turned into Agent Smith. So because we know, in the case of Denmark Vesey, he wanted to get his people up out of slavery. One of his homies snitched on him. They were in the Matrix. They got executed because of that. So because we're going through this crisis, it's going to be hard to try to teach people who are dead asleep. I'm not fucking with them right now. No disrespect to them. We can't do that. But our numbers are so strong at this point that we could sit down and draw up a plan, draw up some goals. There's a website called landwatch.com. I got a list of websites. I'm going to throw one at the family. Go on there and see how much acreage that they're selling for nothing. Okay? We need to come together, collectively put our money together, and we need to remove ourselves from this situation or this matrix, put a wall up if need be, but remove ourselves. And can't nobody tell any one of us in the law of self-preservation will take over, the law of self-sufficiency, the law of all kind of laws, where all kind of universal laws have to take effect for us to say we got to deal with us at this moment. We got to get us better. We got to get us strong. We got to get us together and get away from this. So what I'm saying is the solution is at hand. What are we willing to move forward to the solution? So conferences have to take place, emergency conferences. These leaders have to be held accountable. They got to sit down, tuck their ego, sit at the table. I don't want to hear about nothing else at the end of the day. Where's the land? Where's the food? And where's the shelter? And it's here. We can move into states where they have legalized the crops. Hemp, marijuana, and other things have been legalized. We need to go and get land where those are crops. We need to create business allies outside of the borders of America. What we really need to do is get the hell and try. Now, I'm not leaving. Let's travel. Because when you travel, your eyes will open up. When you go back in Africa and see how they're conducting themselves business-wise. When you go into Asia and when you go into India, this is what the Moors did before. This is what our ancient comedic, this is what Mansa Musa, this is what we did. So we got to return to what worked for us.
All right, that was Red Pill. Once again, you're listening to Black I Stand Radio. And as we close this down, I just wanted to piggyback on something I was saying before and something that Red Pill made kind of clear, you know what I'm saying, and just build on the fact that right now what we do need to be doing is we need to be having think tanks, you know what I'm saying? We do need to be clicking up. We do need to be interactive, you know what I'm saying? We do need people that, like I said, the separation is happening right now, you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to wake up dead people, you know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to do is mobilize and organize those who are already awake. The ones that are dead, they have a better chance of being woken up by a new initiate who's just getting conscious because they're going to be able to vibe on a frequency that's more conducive to each other. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to do is build with, you know, the very few, you know what I'm saying? I know that there's only very few, you know what I'm saying, that could really hear. That's who I'm trying to reach. You know what I'm saying? That's why right now, if we don't use this momentum, and if we don't start doing all these things that we talk about, if we don't start actually participating in the practice of spending money with each other, of learning how to disagree respectfully, of coming together not just in internet groups, but then even taking that further and actually having sit downs. If we don't start doing that, so we can build this community and build this protection for ourselves, then you know what time it is. Because you know what I'm saying? They're pushing right now. They know it's our time. They know we got next. You know what I'm saying? And as far as nation building, some people say that we have to go back to Africa or get out of here. Some people say we have to stay here. What I'm saying is we got to do both simultaneously. You feel me? Anywhere we go, we're going to have to fight, period. You know what I'm saying? It comes down to it. So we do have to repatriate. Some of us do have to go and build businesses back home and network with businesses and governments that are already existing, and we can get dual citizenships in Ghana and other places, you know what I'm saying? But here we also have to do our thing. We have to hold it down. We have to get what's ours here, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's one of those things that once we get the momentum built, like a lot of the times people can't really see a clear step vision, but once we get the momentum building, you know what I'm saying, like Red Pill said, man, the laws of survival and you know what I'm saying, self-preservation will kick in. You know what I'm saying? We'll start turning these gang members into security forces and giving them jobs. You know what I'm saying? These drug dealers will be, you know what I'm saying, owning businesses. You know what I'm saying? Nurses, doctors, all that. And really, when we really get our shit together, there's other countries that will come to our aid and do business with us exclusively and send us resources that we will need. You know what I'm saying? So the whole thing is, we have to actually have motion. We have to start motion. You know what I'm saying? You have to throw that little snowball down the mountain and let it build momentum and get bigger. We got to start the process. It can't just be this, you know what I'm saying, we just like the superficially be revolutionaries. That can't happen, man. We got to start motion, showing and proving, clicking together, and we got to deactivate this Willie Lynch chip that makes us always want to be divisive and find reasons why we can't do something, or we want to wait until something's already going, you know what I'm saying, at full capacity, and then we want to jump on the bandwagon of a moving, you know what I'm saying, something that's already moving and big, instead of being part of making it there, because we're going to need this all over the country. So, like I said, I got the t-shirt campaigns coming off, so make sure you follow the show, follow on Facebook and all that, so you can keep abreast of that. Practice spending money with ourselves. If it ain't with me, if you don't have money to donate to the show or whatever, then that's cool. Just promote the show, just like the show, just follow the show, do things like that, man. Get involved in other organizations. Practice spending money. Make sure when you want to go get something to eat, see if there's a black restaurant in your neighborhood or around that you can go to first. You know, so anything that we need, that's how we have to see it. You know what I'm saying? That's why businesses need to pop up, and they need to be supported by us. You see the power that we have. That's why these retailers are taking up off those Confederate flags. It ain't because they care about us. It's because they care about that dollar, because they know that dollar. Think about it like this. We fund our own oppression. $1 trillion, if you take $1 trillion out of the U.S., you know what I'm saying, economy, that's our $1 trillion. If you take ours out of there, they don't have money to pay to fund wars. The money to fund wars so they could take over other countries, including Africa, and steal the resources and so on back to us, it wouldn't be there. The money to pay these cops to be oppressive against us wouldn't be there. But what would be there is we would have the power to do to protect ourselves and do what's in our best interest, educate ourselves, medically care for ourselves, grow food to feed ourselves, produce leathers and wool to clothe ourselves, engineer buildings and bridges and roads and houses and institutions to shelter ourselves. That's why. So practice spending money with us. Practice that. Do it every week. Take $100 and spread it amongst different black businesses. Just try that. You know what I'm saying? We have to build on this momentum. They're showing us our power. Underhandedly, they're showing us our power economically. You know what I'm saying? One thing that, you know, you can say what you want about MLK, but one thing that he did do is he knew how to shut down, do boycotts and shut down money. That's what made him move on the integration or whatever, whether it was a good move or not. You know what I'm saying? Things like that is what got their attention, hitting them in that pocket. So it's not even enough now to just not buy with them. It's more so that we have to buy with ourselves. So I'm going to leave you with this song by Saul Williams. It's a cover of Nas, They Shootin'. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, join the show. Follow the show so you can keep up to tune, up to date on what's going on. You know what I'm saying? Share the show with your friends. Let them know about it. You know what I'm saying? Peace. This is Black God Stand Nation. And I salute you. And we're going to end this with Saul Williams.
Now let's get it all in perspective. Shift the objective, you've been misdirected. What's the purpose of another song to step to if you're stepping in the wrong direction? Dug in perception, mind frame in the fast lane. To the cocaine, time's up, time to maintain before a nigga gets drafted. Cause you're the number one pick, cornbread, cotton crafted. Some people's army shot another brown kid today. And all your scrap little boys, let them get away. So what you packing for? You packing for the war? They're gonna ship you out and put you and your men on tour. Yeah, your Hummer came in handy. Son, your Air Force wants a Sandy. You better beat the plan B before you call yourself a soldier. You caught up on the wrong side and your little party's over. Put your blunt down, no time to front now. Put your drink down, time to think now. We on the brink now. Where my peeps at? Where the seats at? Same cat that stole you is using you to steal Iraq. Yo, I say let them shoot. My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer and aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. Yo, I say let them shoot. My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer and aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. We was the first type of oil that they ever sold. Now fuck the oil metaphor, son, we was gold. But let the truth be told, we was platinum. Now they want a deal and asking us to back them. War, don't start to no be none. We fighting for freedom. Yeah, they say they is, but son, I don't believe them. Cause when there's violence in the hood, you never see them. Unless they start in it, they got their heart in it. Now they got you thinking money is power. We counting dead Teds by the hour. And the one that's living, the Bible thumping Christian. Like your niggas trying to cross out the mission. Listen, power is vision. You keeping it real in a neighborhood that's government sealed. Yo, let the truth be revealed before your freedom is veiled and the innocents killed. Yo. Yo, I say let them shoot. My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer and aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. Yo, I say let them shoot. My tongue is my gun, aiming for the truth. They got a silencer, they aiming straight at the youth. And all they talk of terrorism's nothing but a spoof. Yo, can I get some water? I'm hip to your game, hip to the science of war. Propaganda make me fight, but what am I fighting for? My way of life, ease and rights, give or take less or more. See through the eyes of the poor, plus I'm black to the core. Ignorance is on tour, looking sailors and more. The days ahead, the pain of pictures, patriotic before. You raise a flag on a land, snatch on board eagle's claw. That sends a symbol on your currency to finance your war. I'm saying no, not in my name, not in my life, not for my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name. You wage a war against terrorists and violence, and try to wave your guns to fear us all into silence. No, not in my name, not in my life, not by my hands, that ain't my fight, not in my name. You built your empire with natives and slaves, like the truth on resurrect, waging war from its grave.
All right, that was Saul Williams. Before I close this show out, I just want to say make sure you tune in next week. We will have a guest host, Boogs. He's the one that laced some of those beats on those, some of the scores on those, you know, narratives on some of those clips. He's the one that laced them beats. We're going to be going over the Rachel Dolezal case. You know what I mean? Not that we have any inside information, but we do have some inside perspective, seeing that we are from Washington State. And there is a very unique dynamic up here that I think we could bring a little something to it, plus the distraction of it. We're also going to be going into other, we're going to be going into organizations that are not for us. You know what I'm saying, including NAACP, and, of course, including the GMS Hebrew Israelite camp. Yes, sir. So they will get roasted on that day, and that day will be Saturday, 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you follow the show. Thanks for listening to Black and Stan. Peace.